Today, as we talk about outrage, we can't talk about Jesus playing any video games. But when I think about outrage, I think of Rampage. I think of Mario. I think of him seeing like the princess being stolen. I've got to do something about it, right? When outrage, just in case you guys need the definition of it, outrage is defined as a strong reaction of shock, of anger, or indignation in response to something perceived as wrong, unjust, or offensive, right? And so that is what outrage is, and that seems to be describing even some of our lives, right? It definitely describes our social media feeds, right? There's outrage all over. There's injustice all over. You can watch the news channel, and you see good and bad and left and right and a divided world. And what are we supposed to do in that? Maybe your outrage is kind of like this, right? You go through the drive-thru, right? You order your food, and they ask you if you'd like to get a larger fry. And so you're like, yeah, I'll take the large fry, right? And then you get the large fry, and they only put a medium amount in there, right? Doesn't that seem to always happen? The medium amount goes in the large container. You're like, ah, right? None of you get mad about that one, right? Netflix, they announce another price hike, right? Again, you're like, come on, I don't want to watch all this junk, right? Or if I just say the word Chick-fil-A on Sunday, some of you are just lost it right there. You're just like, oh, no, right? I don't know exactly. Maybe you're there and you're just pouring out your heart to somebody in a text message, right? It takes you like 20 minutes to craft the perfect text message, and they respond with just the letter K. Like, come on! I need more than that, right? Maybe that's your level of outrage. Or maybe it's inflation, right? Your blood pressure just went up, right? Like groceries, right? Like it's your groceries are more than your car payment right now. Your eggs are you're trying to substitute like all this mayonnaise and like it's ridiculous. Gas prices, right? They went down 10 cents. 30 minutes later, they're up 30 cents. What is going on, right? That can cause some outrage. Social media, right? It can just be a constant feed of arguments over a fence post or a dog post or a cat post or whatever it may be. It seems to just cause argument after argument after argument. Or maybe your outrage is a little more real, right? You're the single mother that works two jobs just to keep the roof over the head, just to try to keep food on the table, but now the landlord announced that rent is going to be going up, groceries are not affordable, and you have to choose between the electric bill or the medical. No matter how hard she tries, no matter how hard she works, she's always drowning. The veteran who served his country with honor comes home to a broken nation. He can't even get the medical care that he needs. The job market has left him behind, and he feels like he's been forgotten by the nation he sacrificed so much for. The teenager that's battling depression only to jump on a wait list for counseling. Overwhelmed parents who don't understand in a world that seems to be too dark to find hope. See, maybe that sounds a little bit more like it. The father that loses his job due to downsizing and watches helplessly as his family struggles. He's the one provider, the protector, but now he feels like a failure and he's ashamed. The outrage can feel a little bit different. They say since COVID, I talked about this when we talked about Jesus gets our anxiety at the beginning of the series, that studies show that anxiety and depression have increased 25% since the pandemic. But even in 2022, a survey found that 74% of Americans believe that the country is more angry than ever before, right? And 2025 is just saying, hold my beer, right? Like, 2025, let's amp this up even more. Not looking much better. The outrage seems to only grow, people growing more and more divided, a nation that continues to seemingly erode. The pressures of daily life seem heavier than ever. The headlines remind us that we live in a world filled of conflict, of frustration and injustice. Sounds a lot like when Jesus stepped into the world, though. You read about when he stepped in the world, he entered a culture filled with oppression, filled with injustice, filled with religious hypocrisy. The Roman government ruled with an iron fist. Religious leaders misused their authority, and everyday people were desperate for hope. Just as outrage defines our time, it sounds awfully familiar with the time that defined Jesus's. But yet his response seemed to be different, at least different than ours, or at least those other churches, right? Ed Stetzer wrote, this is a book that it's queued up for my next road trip. It's called Christians in the Age of Outrage. It says how to bring our best when the world is at its worst. All the anger, all the division, all the hostility we see in the world today, it's even circling around in the lives of Christians. Outrage is all around, so we have to decide how we're going to walk through this. We're living in a day where indeed our moment when we need to live like Christ as gospel Christians in the midst of shouting and anger and hatred. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to live like Jesus lived? Well, I don't know if we're going to be rejected. Rejection is okay, right? Rejection is okay. Rejection is a normal part of life. Please teach your kids that before they melt down just because they didn't get everything that they wanted right when they wanted it. If you've ever heard of The Help, it's a great movie, a great book. It was sold 7 million copies with over 100 weeks on the bestseller list. It was rejected by the first 60 publishers. First 60 publishers said, nope, that's not good enough to make the cut. J.K. Rowling, the first book of Harry Potter, was rejected even 12 times, 120 million copies later. I could tell you stories about Michael Jordan and being cut from his team, but my wife says I use too many sports analogies, and so I'm not going to do that today. We could talk about President Lincoln. We talk about Walt Disney, but I think you get the picture. Many times, rejection makes us all feel outraged. But what if rejection is just a redirection? Right? That's exactly what we do with baby Tavish, right, Tandrick? Right? Like Tavish is out there in the lobby waddling around. He's a toddler figuring out how to walk, and he's always going over to the stairs that take you up to the offices, and Tandrick's like, no, right here. And what does he do? What every toddler does. Right? They just scream and they cry and they whine because they don't get their way. But how many of us are 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 that are still whining and crying because we can't go up the stairs? It's not exciting. It's just desk up there. We also get outraged when others believe or do things that disgust us. Right? Creates a strong emotional reaction. We can't connect with them because they didn't vote or because they have a flag up, because they have a sign up. We can't, they drive something that we don't agree with. That happened to me. I drove a Volkswagen. My first job in Kokomo as a youth pastor, I drove a Volkswagen, a German car, into Chrysler country. I couldn't get gas without getting evil looks. But what did Jesus, did he show us a better way? Did he show us God's way to handle outrage? Like his way might seem outrageous to the world, but he's the one that said, follow me and I'll make you. And so I hope we're willing to be made in Christ's image today. And I think if we learn from the scriptures that and then put it into practice. By the way, if you're sitting there with your phone, if you're taking notes, we have an innovation app, and if the toddler didn't tear off the sticker on the chair in front of you, then you can scan that one and text the word app, and it will actually send you the link on both Android and an Apple device so that you can follow along today and fill in blanks and all that stuff. Because today we start off not with Jesus, we'll get to him in a moment, but we actually start off with Joseph today. Because when I think of outrage, when I think of the people that had the most opportunity to be just angry at life and angry at everything that life had dealt them. I mean, when you look at Joseph, he was the favored son, right? If you pick it up in Genesis 37, you see that he gets the coat of many colors, right? His dad makes him a special coat, and he's having dreams where he's hearing from God, and all types of things are happening, and his brothers are bowing down to him. Well, I don't know if you weren't the favorite son or daughter. Anybody not the favorite son or daughter in the family, right? Don't show your mom. Your mom's going to see your hand up. Right? Maybe you didn't get everything. Like the younger siblings, they got everything just handed to them, right? Well, that's what's going on here. And there was enough bitterness and enough hatred that they want to get rid of him and literally plot his almost death, where they dig a hole and leave him in there. He ends up getting sold into slavery, though. If you read through Genesis 37, you'll see step by step. Good news, his father loves him. Bad news, his brothers hate him. Good news, by Genesis 39, right? He's a slave and he's working in the kingdom. And Potiphar sees how hard and how great of a worker he is and elevates him to authority. Well, that's great. Except for Potiphar's wife has the hots for him and gets him thrown in jail because he doesn't want to be with her. He's falsely accused, thrown in jail. Good news is, even while in jail, he is blessed. He's an overachiever. He is interpreting people's dreams. Bad news is, when the other jailers got out and were supposed to make a way for him to get out, they forgot all about him. They went on living their life. Good news is, by the end, though, Genesis 45 through 50, you see how he's eventually freed and reunited with his family and ends up being able to save them. See, when we read through the story of Joseph, you see this horrible things, not caused by God, by the way, horrible things caused by the sin in the world, caused by the hatred of the brothers. But we also see how God steps in and makes a way, just like we sing the song Waymaker, but we see that. But what about even when we don't see it? Andy talked about that, right? When we don't see it, Joseph probably didn't see it. He didn't see that he was going to be the second in command. He didn't see that he was going to be able to save his brothers. All he saw was that he had to trust in God in the midst of the torture, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of things going wrong. Joseph's story reminds us that rejection, yes, is painful, but God can use that pain for a purpose. He never complained, and he simply just trusted in God. Pastor Tony Evans said the same thing about Jesus, right? If you look at the story of Jesus, he says, Jesus knew God always had a purpose for the pain. And because of that, he willingly embraced it. You know, after Easter, like this series goes from now and next week, and then Palm Sunday, we do the donkey egg hunt. That's going to be a blast. Please make sure that table is a sign up just for you, because tomorrow the text message and the link goes out to our community where they can sign up, and the spots will fill up fast. I think we only have about 300 spots, but Palm Sunday is all donkey egg hunt. We're going to, and some of you are like, what is that? You got to be here. It is amazing. We're going to ride donkeys just like Jesus rode a donkey, but then we're going to get off the donkey and have opportunities to serve with Habitat for Humanity, Lafayette Urban Ministries. There's going to be some action points. Yeah, your kids are going to be gathering eggs, because we don't just throw them out in the field, because that's not really hunting, just in case you didn't know. So they got to ride a donkey, but then they get to actually serve, and we get to talk all about how Jesus served and how he got off his donkey for us. And maybe you want to talking point at your work. And so pick up one of these shirts on the way out too. It says, Jesus got off his donkey, will you? and so I guarantee you wear that to work on Friday, somebody's going to be asking you questions. What does that mean? And you're going to say, yep, that's what it means. But then we celebrate Easter around here. And then the week after, we always like to say, bring your keister after Easter. It's just be glad we're not Catholic. And so we say, bring your keister after Easter, and there's usually a very good reason. And so I wanna show you guys just a clip. We've got a guest speaker that's coming in. I met him in 2016 after the most painful moment in his life happened. And I knew one day he would be here at Innovation speaking to us. And so on April 27th, Davey Blackburn is going to be here with us. You may not know his story, so check out this video and look for the Easter egg.
Murder mystery. A young pastor comes home to find his pregnant wife shot in their home.
Four people are being questioned there.
Right now, homicide detectives are questioning.
Amanda Blackburn, according to IMPD, was killed inside her home.
Investigators are still searching.
Learned the murder last Tuesday.
Murder of pregnant mother, shot and killed.
Murder case.
The investigation.
So on April 27th at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m., just in case you didn't catch that, we're starting a series titled From Pain to Purpose. Because by a show of hands, how many of you have ever experienced pain? Oh, okay. Look, hold on. Keep the hands up. Look around. Oh, that would pretty much be all of us, right? But what's the purpose in that? Many times we can recall and we can remember that pain, but have we really surrendered it to God and seen what he could do with it? Davey's going to come and he's going to share his story about how God has taken the most tragic thing that could ever happen to him, losing his pregnant wife in a home invasion in Indianapolis, and how God has given even that amount of pain purpose. And so we know that there's a lot of people that have experienced pain, not just in here, but also outside of here. And so we're like, when's the best time to start that third service? Well, why not right then? Because we all have friends that work first shift, second shift, Sunday mornings. They're on travel stuff by the time the spring actually gets here, right? And we can start that third service and really start to meet a need. And so if you know somebody that needs to be here, we're going to have 528 seats available between three services that Sunday, April 27th, as we start the series called Pain to Purpose. But Joseph endured this pain. Jesus endured pain as well. He endured rejection so that we could have new life. And so that when we feel rejected, we're not alone. Jesus sees us, he understands us, he gets us, and he cares. Joseph's life gives us an early picture of Jesus' kindness. The second way, though, that we see how God handles outrage, we see it in Joseph's life and in Joseph's story, but we also see it in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 53, we see that he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Oh, by the way, that was written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. The prophet Isaiah described how Jesus would suffer for us. John 3:16, it's one of the most well-known verses, right? We know that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. The next verses, John 3:18. I don't know if you ever make it there, because not a lot of people put that on their eyes or tat that up on their arms. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Rejecting Jesus means we just stay in the darkness, but Jesus doesn't leave us there. I don't know if you're excited about that, but I'm excited about that, that Jesus didn't see me in my sin and just say, oh, that guy. He offered grace. He offered his love. He offered a way out to even a wretch like me. a way out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And what if our job as believers was to be just like Jesus? Remember, he said, follow me and I will make you. Our job as believers, could we be the ones to love others the way that he loved us? Right? His love for us while we were still sinning. Showing them Jesus' grace and forgiveness. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't leave us where we are and where we were, but he loves us to where he wants us to be. So Jesus faced rejection so that we could have new life in him. What will we do with our rejection? The third way that God leads us to handle this outrage is maturity. Right? Oh, that's a hard word, right? Maturity, not outrage, right? Maturity to hold back the words. Maturity to stop the fingers, to not press post, to not share this picture or that picture that's going to cause more division, but maturity, not outrage, leading us to righteousness. Jesus calls us to something greater than revenge or outrage, right? This is the life I lived for the longest time that Jesus is describing. In Matthew 5, 38 through 41, he says, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye. Anybody heard that one, right? You punch me, I'm going to punch you back, right? You kick me, I'm going to kick you back a little harder, right? There's I'm going to get you back even more, right? That's what Jesus is referring to. We all know that one, right? But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Some of you are like, okay, I won't resist. I'll punch him back. No. Keep paying attention. It says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with them too. Oh, Jesus, come on. That's maturity? That's what you're asking us to do in this world? That's how you're asking us to live? Yeah. He calls us to something greater than revenge or outrage. I don't know if you remember Jesus' last words on the cross, right? He's there. He's been beaten and bruised and nailed to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. That is probably not the F word that you're thinking of when you're nailed to a cross. Forgive them, forget them, right? That's what I would be saying. Father, forget them, right? They don't deserve forgiveness. How could they? How could they mock me? I've done nothing wrong. Father, make them pay for this. Right? If you're the Son of God, would that be your prayer? Father, forget them. Because I'm so much better than this. How can they ignore the truth and hurt me like this? I can't believe they're getting away with this. Father, forget them. Even though they've turned on me, they've betrayed me, and now they're laughing as I suffer. Don't forgive them. They need consequences to their actions. But no, in Luke 23, 34, it says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. See, Jesus' words are full of grace. He shows us that forgiveness is not about the wrongdoer's worthiness, but about offering mercy when we've been hurt. See, we see an unconditional love teaching us that we should extend forgiveness to others no matter how great the offense. Jesus shows us the highest example of love, of maturity, and of grace. He forgives even in the face of the most unimaginable pain. And then he asks us to do the same, to live that same way. And so here we are, 2025, an age of continued outrage. People are angry, people are divided, people are quick to react, people are quick to post, people are quick to slam one another and fight one another. But I hope today you saw that Jesus gave us another way. That no matter what we're going through, no matter how good or how bad, that our job is to trust in him. Put our trust in him instead of in outrage, instead of getting back, instead of fighting back. Say, all right, God, all this stuff is happening around me. All this stuff is happening to me. But God, I trust that you're going to use it for your good. for your glory, for your goodness. It's not my job to fight back. Maybe you're opening a door that only you can open with this layoff. Maybe I need to trust in you a little bit more instead of just be mad at that company, mad at that boss, mad at this outcome. What if we loved instead of acting out of outrage? When we see sin and brokenness in the world, right? Last week we talked about, God, help me see people as you see them. We encouraged everybody to take a little Jesus into the world. Let him be seen. What if instead of outrage, instead of, oh, I gotta comment on this post. I got to. What if that comment was full of love? What about maturity instead of outrage when we're treated unfairly? Jesus was rejected. He suffered, and yet he responded with love. And I'm wondering if we follow him and we choose trust and love and maturity over outrage, how much will that change? Because as we walk through this series, we're seeing how Jesus gets us. We're seeing how he changes us, how he relates with us. But then at the end, Easter Sunday, we get to see how he saves us, how he saved us all. The good, the bad, those who have done outrageous things, how he paid the ultimate price to save you, to save me, to save your neighbor, to save your enemy, to save your ex, to save your abuser, save that racist person at work. He gets them. Save the refugee, save the liberal, to save the MAGA person. I know. We all need it. We all need it. We're all in need of a Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. We come before you today, and we look at your example, and we ask that we could respond as you respond. Your incredible example of grace, of love, and maturity, God, that we see in Jesus. God, we live in a world where you don't have to look too far to find somebody fighting. We live in a world where anger is around every corner, where frustration seems to drive our reactions. But today we're reminded of a better way. We thank you, God, that even in the face of rejection, in the face of pain, in the face of betrayal, that Jesus responded with trust, with love, and with forgiveness. His words from the cross, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. God, may those words challenge us to look beyond the surface and extend grace to those who have even hurt us. Lord, help us to follow the example of Jesus in our own lives. When we feel rejected or when we feel misunderstood, give us the strength to trust you and to see the bigger picture. When we encounter brokenness, help us love others as you have loved us, unconditionally, without hesitation. And when we face injustice, when we face mistreatment, we ask that you empower us to respond with maturity, seeking peace over anger and forgiveness over outrage. Heavenly Father, I ask that we would reflect the character of Christ in all that we do, showing a world in desperate need of hope that there is a better way. Thank you, God, for teaching us to be agents of love and healing and reconciliation. Now we ask for the opportunities, even this week, to be your hands and feet, to be the church that the world needs to see so that they may experience you. We trust you, Lord, to give us the grace to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.